instead.
Right?
Yeah, big ones.
Brown furry rodents.
What about the RUSs?
Rodents of unusual size? I don't think they exist.
Don't be so modest. You're a rat, for Pete's sake.
What are you telling us? We're trapped like rats?
No, rats can't be trapped this easily. You're trapped like carrots.
Gross.
You're listening to the Rosie on the House Show with the experts from Blue Sky Pest Control. Call 1-800-ROSIE-4U.
Talking our way through scorpions and black widows in the last half hour. Those just tend to be the scariest little critters that we find crawling around our property. One tip we were talking earlier in the show about what to do prior to leaving the house for summer is make sure all those little piles of clutter or debris or organic material that may have piled up over the winter are thoroughly cleared out and cleaned up around the foundations and footings of your house. Let's leave the place clean, much more likely to find the place clean when we get back. We're here with the experts from Blue Sky Pest Control. Romy, what one insect drives more hits to Rosie on the House than any other on the planet?
Well, let's see if our guest can guess that, because something I learned from y'all's last visit when you had your, was it an entomologist? Was that his?
Entomologist,
an
yeah.
An entomologist. Mm-hmm. This insect that Rosie's talking about, their biomass is more than the human population.
Probably the ant.
Yep. We get more questions about ants than any other insect.
We have a lot of species here in Arizona, and they're very active. Actually, that's one of the insects that's actually active year-round. Obviously, they get more active this time of year because they start reproducing more rapidly. However, and they adjust their foraging. Like, there's times in the summer where it's really, really hot during the day, and they'll be more active in the morning time and the evening time when it's not as wicked hot, unless it's a specific species. But then in the wintertime, I remember a time where Nate and I were at a house, and it was in the middle of the day, and we saw them active because it was warmer during the day, so it was more conducive for them.
I was asking y'all, had you ever been bit by scorpions?
Sorry.
Some of the worst insect bites I've ever had were the fire ant that got in around on my boots and ankles and calves. I had scars for a year.
Woo! That's
it's like your skin is on fire.
Yeah, I got stung by a fire ant in Texas when I lived there, and it really hurts. It's a very, you know, burning sensation, not fun. I'm sure it's similar.
It was a year before the bite marks disappeared from my skin.
Yeah, no. All right, well let's get to our calls, and we actually have a number of letters here. Subscriber to our weekly newsletter that goes out Thursday got a huge response and a lot of letters, so we'll run through those questions that homeowners have. But we're going to start with Nathan first. Talking, we're going inside the home. They're the worst spot. Bed bugs.
Hey.
Yes, sir.
Hey, first of all, shout out to Blue Sky. We're down here in Maricopa, and they've been helping us out for the last 2 years on a contract. Do a great job.
Thank you.
We've got some bed bugs, and my wife's going crazy. She keeps a clean house, but we've got them anyway. And I tried to kind of self-treat, and I think I might have been on a fool's errand there, because we just can't seem to get rid of them. So what kind of treatment options do we have for bed bugs? And I'm really concerned about cost as well on treatment options.
Yeah, no, it's understandable. Bed bugs are very challenging, and there's multiple things that we can do. One of the things that is obviously very, very beneficial with when you're dealing with bed bugs is one of the best options is a heat treatment. And we actually have a heat approach to bed bugs. But have you actually seen the actual bed bugs, or are you just seeing some bites and are assuming it's bed bugs?
No, we've seen them. Yeah, we've seen a few.
Okay. Okay. And about how long ago did you start seeing them?
About a week ago, maybe 2 weeks.
Okay.
In that range.
Okay, because what happens a lot of times people can have them for two plus months, even longer, before they actually start seeing them. And so sometimes, you know, do you have an idea of how you might have accidentally brought them home? Because keeping a clean house, they don't care, you know, they can be brought into pristine homes. So being clean isn't going to be an indicator on whether you can get bed bugs. It's just unlucky, you know, if they hitchhiked home with you.
Yeah, I'm in the military, so I do travel a lot. And so I think, you know, it's possible any place along the way could have picked them up.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. What we can do, what we do for this is we actually come out and do an inspection for you and figure out, you know, all the rooms that potentially have them. And then we create a treatment approach for you. And we have a heat option to get rid of them. And we can actually get really, really quick results. Our new program actually can get rid of them in one treatment most of the time.
Explain that heat treatment just a little bit.
Well, what we do is sometimes people come in and heat up the entire house. We actually have chosen just to heat up those things that are needed, like the mattresses and sometimes couches or other furniture that they've become infested with. And we heat it up just gradually up to about 130 degrees, and then it holds there for a few hours. And once you get a bed bug or the egg up to about 122, 123 degrees, it dies within just a short amount of time. And so if you're able to kill them all that way, then there are some other things you have to do, some very pinpoint things throughout the rooms. And we take off outlets, and there's a few other steps that we have to do also. But with this multi-step approach, we've had really good results with getting rid of bed bugs. And you do have to eradicate them completely.
And what it is it's a chamber. So we have a chamber that we'll bring into somebody's home, and we can put it in a room. And that creates an enclosed area that we can heat everything within that chamber up to the 130 degrees.
Interesting. Now, you had asked them, are you seeing it? How would you know that you have this problem?
Like, I think a common misconception.
You physically can see them.
So an adult bed bug is about the size of an apple seed. And so you can absolutely see them. And a lot of times they'll be in the seams of a mattress or underneath. A very common place they're going to hide is in the box springs. And they're going to come out at night. And so unless the infestation is really big, they're going to be great. They hide in all different types of places. And so it's important that you inspect properly, because a lot of times it may not be a big infestation at first. But if you're not inspecting properly to really see if you have them, and you just let it grow and grow and grow, then you really have a problem in your hand. They just get more and more difficult to control.
I'm going to run through a few of our questions here that were emailed in as people were seeing our newsletter and knew the topic coming up was bugs. David actually quotes your comment in the Arizona Republic article, Curtis, about most homeowners don't buy and apply the right type of diatomaceous earth. He wants to know, what type do I buy and where do I get that?
Yeah. The stuff that's like at Home Depot is actually made for pools, like pool filtering. And that's actually not designed for pest control. It's actually the diatoms that diatomaceous earth is made from is saltwater type. And the type that works best for pest control is freshwater diatoms or diatomaceous earth. And I think you can buy some stuff online. I don't know if they actually carry that at like a Home Depot or whatnot, like the pest control grade kind. So that's one thing. You got to get the right kind. But the other one is most people, even when they, if they had the right kind, they don't apply it correctly. I've gone to a home, like I was just at a home not too long ago where they're having scorpions, and they're like, I was trying to do some stuff myself. And they had like a trail of it, like, 3 inches wide and about an inch deep all the way around their entire house. And they're like, we're still getting them. I'm like, well, as soon as this stuff gets wet on the outside, it's useless. A. B. They're not stupid. These things have survived for thousands and thousands of years. And if they sense it that thick, they're just going to avoid it. You know what I mean? And so it's got to be applied correctly in the right places. It's got to be put in places where it's going to keep dry. And you want to get places where you know they're hiding. So
that goes back to our comment earlier about they'll only travel as far as they have to as well. Who knows? They may not even be leaving his house. So if it's on the perimeter and they're living just fine in the attic and getting the water from a little leak that they find down in a plumbing drain and the food from the roof to the foundation, they may not be leaving the house at all.
Great point.
So, all right, Kim writes in and she wants to know about the plugging up the drip from her stucco. If you're in a
the J trim,
yeah. If you're in a wood framed home, you've got your waterproofing agent, your paper, and then there's a little J strip at the bottom, and it's got cuts. You can't really see it. You have to put a mirror up against the foundation from where the stucco sticks out. She's smart enough to know that this company that's approaching her, that's a pest control company, not y'all, not a Rosie certified partner, that wants to plug those holes. She's smart enough to know that's a moisture weep and it's mandatory and it's required and it's actually against code to plug those up. But she says, so what do I do then?
Now, where the J trim actually underneath there, a lot of times there's a gap between the J trim and the like the stem wall.
You can plug
you can plug that up. Just then the little holes along there, usually about every 6 inches or so, that are built into that J trim. You don't want to plug those up because you want to allow the house to breathe, obviously.
So, is there something you can do, or is that a point of concern at all?
Yeah, right there. We do it sometimes too, where we put a bead of like silicone caulking or something along where the J trim meets the foundation. To seal that up, because sometimes there can be a good quarter inch gap there.
But I don't mean necessarily that. The actual holes in the J trim. You're obviously not plugging them. So what is the alternate?
Oh, I think the reality is that sealing a home in and of itself is not the silver bullet that people may think. So even we don't recommend at all to seal up those little holes. Even if you do that, that's not going to mean that you're never going to have bugs. Now, by leaving those unsealed, can that be a common harbinger area for a lot of different types of pests? Yes. You have crickets that get up in there, earwigs, scorpions, you name it. So it's like, hey, you can seal the home in the areas that Curtis was talking about. But you also, it's like, hey, you keep conducive conditions around the house minimized. So no leaf litter. Keep the landscaping trim. Don't overwater. But then in addition, you can also treat with you know, have a pest control plan that's also making sure that you're keeping those areas treated as well. That's going to be the best way to do it.
Very good. The Wright family, they have a mulberry tree that a beehive has infested itself in. Do y'all in your services include bee removal?
We do. We deal with that pretty regularly, actually. And obviously, mulberry trees or any flowering tree or fruit tree can be very attractive because, you know, they're looking for things with nectar and whatnot. But, you know, hey, the question I'd ask, though, is sometimes we have people calling and saying, hey, I got a nest on this tree. And it's actually, they were just foraging and pollinating and they weren't actually nesting. If we for sure know that there's a nest, and sometimes it can, like the hollow cavity of the trunk or something, that's like a very popular place for them to nest. So if they've built that, then we can remove them safely.
All right, I think the last one that we'll have time for. Caroline says, I can't use my pool because I am just attacked by wasps. Every time I go out there, they're there. Every time I go in there, I'm constantly aggravated by them. What can I do?
Well, with that, there's probably a source close by. And one of the best things that can be done is actually trying to find where their nest is. And if you can do that, then obviously you're going to reducing the source. But that's not always easy because they are going to be attracted to water. And so them being attracted to the pool, you know, is pretty normal. But being able to find the source, if you can find it close by.
That's going
to
be the key.
Uh-huh.
That'd be pretty tricky. Like you said, that'd be hard. I don't know if they make GPS tracking units far enough, and then you got to somehow get it attached to the wing. And then we got our hands full with this one.